Does it surprise you that your toddler disobeys? Wendy Speaks says, it shouldn't.
So often we'll look at a two-year-old or a three-year-old and they're, you know, saying no or doing whatever. And I'll say, you know what they're doing? They're doing their job. It is their job at two to push those boundaries and find out what life's about. And it is my job to stay in control and show them what this life is about.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. Do you have a strategy as parents to help corral your children's impulses, their sinful tendencies, and to teach them where the boundaries are? And how's that plan working for you? We're going to spend time talking about triggers and boundaries today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. So how was it at your house? Did you guys exhibit amazing patience with your boys?
I did, Bob.
Did you?
I did, but my wife, I was thinking about this right when you're getting ready to go.
Here we go.
I thought, I came home one day.
Oh, no.
And I walk in the house, and my boys run to me. They're little at the time. Mom kicked a hole in the drywall, and it's covered up with wallpaper. I go, where's the hole? It's covered up. She don't not only kicked a hole in the wall, covered it up with wallpaper so I wouldn't see it.
This is where we're starting today.
Triggers.
Look at this.
The issue we're talking about is the issue of anger and how we get provoked to anger by the children who we love and adore more than anything else, right? Yep.
I never knew this was in me. If you would have asked me before I got married and had children, are you an angry person? I would have said, not at all. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what you're talking about. And I remember this one time getting in the van with three little boys in the back that were five and under. And I could see myself in the rearview mirror. My face was red. I'm yelling and I'm thinking, who am I? What have I become?
Well, I remember hearing Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth one time say a mom had come up to her and said, I was never angry until I had teenagers. And Nancy said, you were always angry.
Yep.
Yes.
It just took teenagers to bring it out of you.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's a good observation, I think, for all of us to recognize the seeds are in us. The question is, what brings it out?
What triggers it?
What causes these seeds to sprout? And what do we do when we start to feel that rising up in us? And we have Amber Leah and Wendy Speak joining us today to help us with this. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. We're glad to be here. Like we're in good company.
Yeah, you are our people. You struggle with anger.
Thank God you're here.
Oh, my
Ann,
goodness.
Ann was talking about kicking in the drywall, and Wendy was over here.
Raising the roof. Yep, sister.
Going, I am. Testify to that.
Yeah. I'm not one to fake it, so I'm really happy that you're here. Right. I don't think you are either.
No, we're not.
You just spoke my heart. I'd never raised my voice. I had never been yelled at. Right. And then I had the third child, and I tell you, something broke. And this flood of feeling out of control came out of my mouth onto the children. Mm. So I have so many people that write us letters that say, you know, I come from a long lineage of angry women. Mm. And so I swore I wouldn't, and then I did. And then we also hear from so many people that say, Never. Where did this come
right.
from?
Mm-hmm.
But I totally get what you mean about looking in that mirror and you see the eyes bulging and the nostrils flaring and the spittle flying. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what is that?
And you blame your children. Like, look what you've done to me.
Right.
Yes.
But you're exactly right, Bob. Those things were already mm-hmm. in there. It
right.
just was exposed.
And, and you two have found out you're not alone. There's a whole community of people that responded
right.
to what you
yeah.
tell
How
us the story.
How did it start?
Well, that was the most surprising and blessed part of this whole journey for me, because I was a recovering angry mom. When I started my mommy blog, I started a blog like a lot of women do who are home with their kids. And I loved my children, like a lot of parents do, but I had struggled with anger toward them and frustration and even yelling. And so I was very embarrassed by that. And I didn't really want anybody to know, because there was this stigma attached, of course. I hadn't struggled with anger as a teacher for 10 years. I kept my cool with my students. Why was this such a challenge for me now as a mom? Hmm. And so I was very embarrassed by that. And eventually, when I started getting a handle on that, and God really did a change in my heart and in my life, the key for me was that I didn't realize a lot of other people were still struggling with this. So when I started a Facebook group for moms who struggle with anger and yelling, there were more than 1,000 people that joined the first week, really within the first few days.
The first few days.
Yes. And that was my big aha. Like, oh, I wasn't alone.
1,000 anonymous women
yes.
who didn't want to be. No, I guess they can't be anonymous. Yeah. They got to be outed and say,
right.
this is me.
It was a private yes. Facebook group. Yeah.
It was a private Facebook group, but we were all willing to raise our hands and say, this is something that I struggle with too. And there was a collective sigh of relief mm-hmm. in that group. Like, okay, good. I'm not the only one. And there is hope. There's actually hope
because
for change.
Because there's a level of shame and guilt that you carry with
right.
that you're not always willing to be honest about it.
That's
and
right.
And so to know there are other people is like, wait, what? Is
yes.
there really help?
And yet God says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. And the Bible encourages us to confess to one another and to share that. And I found that if we can get over that little bit of embarrassment or that stigma that we feel, then we can really find freedom and we can really walk alongside one another.
Right. Healing
in order to
and transformation,
change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there. So Amber continued to work in this Facebook group, but it became so big so fast that she said to the writing team that we were on for another ministry, she said, would anyone like to co-labor with me? And I said, yeah, I can sort of identify with that theme that you're talking about. Yeah, I'd love to. So we started doing that together as it grew. And then one of the days we asked, so what are your triggers? What are the things that your kids do? Actually, I didn't even say that. They didn't need a definition. They knew yeah. what a trigger was. And so within those first, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes, hundreds of mm-hmm. people, why can't they get their shoes on and get in the car? When my husband travels, when I'm exhausted, and on the triggers went. So the next day, Amber jumped in the group and said, I'm just going with the very first comment. I'm going to speak to that. Tomorrow, Wendy will address the second one. We were just meeting the needs of the people in our midst.
Yeah.
And after, I don't know, probably 15 days, of that, they started saying, can you give us this? Can we have this like so we can share it with others? And Amber called me that day saying, this needs to be a book and fast. And
yeah.
I think that we released it within probably 2 to 3 months from there.
She said, I don't have time to do this book right now. And I said, Wendy, the Holy Spirit is pressing on me hard. We need to do this book and we need to do it now. And so you can go ahead and pray about it, but you're going to write this with me.
The book, I like that pressure from the Holy Spirit.
Right?
The book is called Triggers, by the way. And it's a book we've got in our Family Life Today Resource Center, Exchanging Parents' Angry Reactions for Gentle Biblical Responses. That's a pretty bold claim you're making.
It's a promise.
Yeah.
It really
wow.
is.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that a mom who is daily frustrated by the activities of her kids can get to a point where she can be at peace and not responding in anger?
Yeah, and here's the deal. We're not addressing our children's behavior that makes us triggered. Now, that's going to transform too. Instead, we're saying, okay, let's look at these 31 scenarios, those 31 triggers. And instead of saying, okay, I got to get my kids to get their shoes on and get in the car without melting down so that I don't have to get angry, instead, it's just humbly going to God's word saying, God, why am I out of control when they can't get their shoes on? Why am I whining and complaining when they're whining and complaining? I think that my whining and complaining is going to help them stop whining and complaining, but it doesn't. And so instead, these chapters really are about what is going on with us and God, what? I know there's power in your word. I know you want to start with me. I want the fruit of your spirit in my life. So it really is about us.
And this is so important because most moms, most dads for that matter, look at their kids' behavior and say, the problem with my anger is that behavior.
It's you. Yeah.
I fix the behavior, that'll fix the anger.
Yes.
You're saying, no, the problem with the anger is something inside of you that's being triggered here.
Yeah.
Let's deal
that's
with
right.
that.
And I don't think most people make that turn.
Right. Right.
They just assume it's the kid's fault without looking inward.
Right.
How did you discover that?
Well, it really changed when I was alone as a mom whose husband worked very long hours in a town that I had just moved to, a big transition. And I remember very distinctly one day my husband left for work. And I had 3 kids, 4 and under at the time. And I looked around and the house was a kind of a disaster. And I'm a neat freak. So that was really hard for me in and of itself. And I looked down at my clothing and I was in my pajamas. It was late in the morning and that's kind of okay, but it wasn't that day's pajamas. It was like the day before the day before's pajamas. We're going on 3 days in this same outfit. And I was frustrated and I remember snapping at my kids and then there was a knock on the door. bum, 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 bum. And I just froze. I was suddenly very embarrassed because I realized that maybe somebody had heard me the way I was talking to my kids just now.
You were living in an apartment or condo?
I was in a house, but we had thin walls. It was right in the center of a busy street. And so I knew that whoever was on the door, because I was standing just inside the door, snapping at my kids. And so I opened the door, and thank the Lord, it was my neighbor Joe down the street, who was a bachelor and very old, and therefore also a little hard of hearing. And I thought, okay, good, maybe I'm safe. And he just was dropping off some tool or some such thing that he had borrowed from my husband. And I closed the door, and I very remember vividly saying to the Lord, Lord, this has to stop. This has to be a turning point for me. I don't want to keep being like this. This is not who I said I was going to be as a mom. And I don't even recognize myself, and I'm hurting my kids. And so instead of when the kids would go down for their very short naps, which in the past was like my time to just sit or read a book or do something for myself, I was like, nope, I'm going to get back to having more time with the Lord. And so I sat down and I'd take a couple verses, and whatever the issue was, if it was that I was speaking words that I felt were unkind to my kids, I took a verse about kindness. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And then I would just meditate on that for that half hour. And I would pray and I'd say, Lord, let my words be kind, transform me. So that is what we're doing. And you know what? When God made me a kinder, gentler mom, as I took one thing at a time, one of my own triggers at a time, one of my own wrong attitudes at a time, and just really connected with the Lord, I'd set a timer on my phone to go off every couple hours with that verse to pop up, or I'd write it on the mirror in my bathroom. So it was the first thing I saw in the morning. Very, very intentional. I treated my anger issues like it was my new job. And yes. So that's when the Lord began to take me seriously, as I took this issue seriously, and he transformed me. And my kids became the kids I was wanting them to be, that I had trained them only to do when I would yell at them. Mm. That was not working. But when I softened and I came alongside them and I said, it looks like you're really upset over that. What can I do to help you? Or let's figure this out together. I didn't get frustrated and why can't you ever just... You know, it was, okay, I'm going to come alongside you like a good coach would do, instead of this punishing authoritarian figure that's not working for either one of us.
So yes. You're saying that intentionally meditating on specific scriptures to deal with the issue fixed the issue?
It did, because it changed my heart. Mm-hmm. And now I didn't become perfect, but I really became a much more loving parent in that time. And you know what? Nobody is going to become hardened when somebody else is loving them relentlessly in the way that Jesus loves us.
Yes.
When I grew in my love relationship with the Lord in that way, and I poured that out on my kids, they could not help but be transformed. They were dealing with their frustrations and their triggers better because they saw me modeling that, because they were being filled by the love of Christ that the Lord privileged me to give to them as their mom.
It sounds like you were exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
As I'm listening to you, I'm thinking you're connecting with God. He's
you're
giving
abiding.
You, yes, you're abiding in the vine.
Yeah.
You're exhibiting love and joy and peace.
Yeah.
And then it, as you went to your kids like that, they couldn't blame you then for their anger issues or their issues that they're dealing with.
That really is a big deal. When the kids do wrong and we come in, again, with the eyes bulging and the nostrils flaring and the spittle flying, we steal the teachable moment. We make the wrong behavior about our wrong behavior rather than, you know, keeping the main thing the main thing. We have completely robbed them of that teachable moment. But when we can stay kind, there's an opportunity for them to experience repentance. And I'm reminded, speaking of kindness, was the first example that Amber just shared, that she meditated on that. And one of my favorite verses is Romans 2:4. Which talks about the kindness of the Lord is what has led us to repentance. And I was thinking, for goodness sakes, it has only ever been a kind father that has led me to repentance about my wrong behavior. Mm-hmm. And yet I think that my angry, strong, you know, sticking my finger in his face, you know, response to my kid when he does wrong is going to make him repentant.
Mm.
But the kindness of the Lord, and that does not mean permissiveness. Mm. I'm not saying it's okay that you just hit your brother and called the other one a jerk and stomped off to your room.
Well, let's go right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's going on in the room.
Yes.
Like, you know, they just punched each other. He called each another a name. You're seeing it. You're starting, like, walk us through what you would do in that scenario.
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, what I
used to do, which is I would go out of control because they were out of control. And instead, I had to realize God, in his kindness to them, gave them me. And so I can do the job of staying in control. And so often we'll look at a two-year-old or a three-year-old, and they're, you know, saying no or doing whatever. And I'll say, you know what they're doing? They're doing their job. It is their job at two to push those boundaries and find out what life's about. And it is my job to stay in control and show them what this life is about. I say that I use the analogy of the boxing ring. Ding, ding, ding. I'll even say it out loud. Even though my kids are teenagers now, I'll just make that noise. I'm like, everybody to your corners. Because this is not a fighting ring here. Now, what I used to do, of course, would be climb into that ring and start swinging with my words because they were. But now I realize, no, a coach stays on the outside of the ring. A coach doesn't jump in to the fray and start swinging. A coach says, everybody to your corners. They stay on the outside. They lean over the ropes. They whisper into their fighter's ear about how to fight well. And that's not how we're going to fight well for our family. But oftentimes, calling them to their corner means I'll take them by the hand when they were little and walk them to their room. And I'll say, listen, this isn't a timeout. It's a timeout. It's what you need. It's not a punishment. It's a gift. You're not in control of the way I know you want to speak to your brother or to me. So you need some quiet time. You can read. You can play. But you may not be with us because you've not been kind. And Amber and I have a quote in Triggers that's my favorite. It says, figure out what you mean to say before you say something mean.
That's good.
And I really think that that's so much of what, I mean, yes, spend time in the Word. It starts there. But then what I found I had to do is I had to make better plans because what was coming naturally from me wasn't kind. And so back to the idea of the fruit of the Spirit, abide with him, he'll abide with you, and you will bear his fruit. But in the meantime, you've also got to stop yelling. Mm-hmm. So I would really say to those of you listening, if you're yelling, I hope that you will abide with the Lord and his word, and his transformative word will get in your heart, and then it'll blossom out in your behavior. But in the meantime, if you are yelling, there is an element of that behavior needs to stop and you need to make a better plan. So what's a better plan when your kids are arguing? Maybe your plan is from now on, I walk up to them instead of coming in ready for a fight and I take them by the hand and say, everybody to your corners. We'll talk about this when everybody's calm. And we call that a script.
Yeah. We really encourage parents to stop parenting in the middle of the conflict or directly in the aftermath of the conflict. Because when I'm emotional about something or upset, I'm not very teachable. And yet we think our kids will be. Mm. We think that if we try to tell them what to do and how to do it right in the middle of that conflict, then they're going to listen to us and be like, oh, okay, yeah, sure,
Mom. Oh, that makes sense. Beautiful wisdom.
No problem, yeah. But that's rarely the case. So we do say it's really good for the kids to take a break. In a lot of these heightened emotional moments, it's good for Mom and Dad to take a break. We call it a holy pause. Let's just take a holy pause and get our minds back in the right frame of mind. And then our kids are much more open to hearing what we have to say when we can come alongside them a little bit later. It's not that we're trying to keep a record of wrongs. We're not bringing up the past over and over again. But we're saying, hey, do you remember earlier this morning when you and your brother were fighting over the TV controller mm-hmm. and how, you know, you whacked him over the head with that? You can just ask him questions. You know, how do you think that made him feel? Mm-hmm. Is there a better strategy that you could use next time? I really want to help you. And I bet you have good ideas about how you could have handled that differently in a way that meets one of our family values where we value our relationships and we keep our hands to ourselves.
There's a passage in the Bible that is a parenting passage that most people don't think of as a parenting passage. And it's what you guys are talking about right here. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're familiar with this as a passage that talks about the authority and the inspiration of Scripture and why Scripture can be counted on and believed.
Yes.
But it's in the middle of a parenting context.
Yes.
Paul is talking to Timothy and he says, from your childhood, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. Your parents taught you the Scriptures. Your mom, in this case, your mom and your mm-hmm. grandma taught you the sacred Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And then it says this, all Scripture is breathed out by God and it's profitable for, here's the parenting mm-hmm. part, teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness.
Yes. That's right.
That's parenting.
That is.
It's teaching, reproving, correcting, and training in righteousness. Mm-hmm. And it's over and over again. It's not you do it once and then they got it. Mm-hmm. You have to keep teaching and correcting and reproving and training on a continual cycle. And the time to do it is not, as you said, in the middle of the escalation, but it's the next day when things are fine. And you say, you remember yesterday? Now that's a teaching moment here.
Right.
Let's talk about what this looks like and let's practice it. So here's what you did yesterday. So let's do a little game where you play this and I'll play this and you just role play it and help them develop a new habit, a new pattern.
Yes.
And they'll light up to that. They'll respond to that, won't they?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Young kids especially, I find we would do this. Hey guys, we're going to practice leaving the park. And we'd even be at the park and they're like, but we're actually doing it. No, we're just going to practice it right now. And then we're going to come back because your friends are still showing up. This is weird, Mom. No, this is fun. Let's see it. I want to see how you're going to do it when it's actually time to go. Mm-hmm. Or we're going to practice clearing our plates. But we are clearing our plates. No, this is practice. You know. And they would get on board and they would do it. You know, something I love about that scripture, though, is you can look at it and I think a lot of parents have the tendency to take that as an invitation to parent with a lot of strength and anger throwing Bible verses at their kids. This is so that you can correct them and reprove them. And when really it's, no, we spend time in the Word and the Word of God will bear fruit in our lives. We will be taught and we will be corrected and we will be ready to teach and correct our children. Mm-hmm. But back to what Amber started this whole conversation with is it really started with going back to the Word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I encourage families and moms in particular to consider themselves as coaches, that their mom as coach. When I was a high school English teacher years ago, I had a student named Stacy, and she was really struggling just emotionally and academically in a lot of ways. And I had a little group of high school students that I mentored every afternoon at lunchtime. And her mom asked me if I would have Stacy join our group. And so I said, absolutely, have her come. And so partway through the year, Stacy was about to have this presidential fitness test for PE, where she had to run this lap. And it was just an exhausting thing for her. I mean, she had never passed it before. It was a very stressful thing for her to consider that this test was coming up. And so we prayed for her and we said, we really think you're going to pass it. We know it affects your grade, but just do your best. Well, on testing day, it happened to be that my prep period was during Stacy's PE period. So I went down to the field and I stood there and I was just cheering her on. She was not doing very well at all. She was coming along. She was tired. She was slumped over. I had been a cross-country athlete in college. And so I recognized that her form was not very good. And she was really struggling. And so as she came around, I was like, you know, I got to get like right down there and just give her a couple tips, whether she wants it or not. So I had this pencil skirt on, not very conducive for going down onto the track. And I just kind of jogged alongside her for a minute. I said, Stacy, put your shoulders back. Take a deep breath. You can do it. I believe in you. I know this is going to be the year that you're going to pass it. And long story short, just before the time went up, she crossed that chalk line. And it was this, I mean, I was more excited than she was. I was so happy for her. And about 10 years later, her mom wrote to me and she said, I just want you to know that that moment with Stacy was like this pivotal moment in her life, that she realized someone really cared about her. You cared enough to come on your prep period and really like run alongside her. And I was, that's right when I was really struggling and just coming out of this angry parenting situation that I was in. And it was like a light bulb for me. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing with my kids. Mm. I'm supposed to be coaching them as opposed to, you know, being so hard on them all the time and having unrealistic expectations for their age and their developmental state and even their unique personalities. And really, I need to do what a good coach does. They inspire and they come alongside. And like you said, Bob, they set up practices like Wendy shared. You know, that's great coaching. That's great stewardship of that scripture verse.
Yeah. So if you look at what you're doing with your kids and you say, how much time is spent training in righteousness? Right. How much time is spent instructing versus how much time is spent correcting and reproving? And I would say to parents, if you would say the correcting and the reproving is higher in our home than the training and instructing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the reason.
Then we got a problem.
Yeah. Yes.
So it should be like 3-1 the other direction.
Yeah.
training and instructing over and over again, and the correcting and reproving is down on the scale. But you will find there's less correcting and reproving if you're doing more training and instructing.
Yeah. And doing it in a loving, gentle way.
I love the verse, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But I've just recently, when I've been thinking of that verse, been hearing the words, should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. Don't berate him for going the wrong way. Get back to the training.
Well, you guys give us a pattern, an outline for how to do this in a wide variety of very specific situations in the book Triggers. So I'm just looking at the table of contents in the book, and chapters like disobedience, backtalk, disrespect, strong-willed kids, angry kids, whining and complaining, sibling rivalry. I could go on.
I can't wait to talk more.
Parents are like, just send me the book now,
because
you have named the issues for us.
Well, and look at the second page of that table of contents. The first are all about the kids, but the second page, they're all about us, our depression.
Noise, messy homes,
exhaustion,
multitasking, transition. We would love to get a copy of the book Triggers in your hand. The subtitle is Exchanging Parents' Angry Reactions for Gentle Biblical Responses. We're making it available this week when you make a donation to help support the Ministry of Family Life. Family Life is listener supported. The work we do happens because folks like you say, this is important. I want to see it continue in my community. I want to make an investment in this ministry. And if you can do that today, we'll send you a copy of the book Triggers as our way of saying thank you for your ongoing support of this ministry. You can donate online at familylifetoday.com or call to make a donation at 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the website is familylifetoday.com. There's additional information available there about resources from Amber and Wendy. You can find out more about Family Life's Art of Parenting video series when you go online at familylifetoday.com or call to donate at 1-800-FL-TODAY, 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. I think all of us as parents have been asking the question today, what are my triggers? What are the things that my kids do that set me off? And then how can I open myself up for the Holy Spirit to do a work in those areas? David Robbins, who's the president of Family Life, is here with us. And this is an issue every parent has to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I get to practice this every day. I mean, the entire conversation is like, how do I not trigger? You know, Jesus is concerned not just about our external behavior, but about the internal drivers and getting into those crevices in our hearts, not just, you know, address the outside. And Matthew 23 is where he calls some of the scribes and the Pharisees whitewashed tombs because their internal and external confessions didn't match.
Right.
And in a similar context in Matthew 12, he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's the same root and zeal that has been driving the entire conversation today. I love how Amber and Wendy are not content in leading us to stop angry parenting. That's not the end game. But they're going after the internal root of what's driving us to that behavior and helping us meet Jesus in that place. You know, I've got kids. We joke at the beginning because it's real. I have kids 12 to 2, and I find it both encouraging and practically really challenging. But I think it's the type of conversation that if Jesus was here with us, helping us with our parenting, he'd be having these types of conversations with us as parents.
And this is a part of how he is at work in our lives and working out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's good, David. Thank you. We're actually going to talk more about these triggers tomorrow as we visit again with Amber Leah and Wendy Speak. So if this is an issue, I hope you can join us back tomorrow. And if it's not an issue, maybe we should have you on and you can explain to us what you've learned. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.